Bibles from Joshua chapter, as I read the long account of a major victory of Israel. You probably remember that Jacob, also known as Israel, a large group of people, probably over a million strong in number. They had escaped from Egypt. After spending 40 years in this, they were ready to invade the land. Their mission under God was to drive out the inhabitants and to possess that land promised some 500 years earlier. They began by invading the center. As I've reminded you a couple of times, Canaan north to south, and it is wide from east. They moved up along the east side and then enter of that territory. From chapter 9, from Israel's experience of making it of Gibeon, the valuable lesson of all God's wisdom and guidance, even when it seems obvious. Now we see that Israel is going to break back of the kings of that. Some of you are not history. I suspect that this kind of literature is interesting to you. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, that is inspired by God and is profitable, rebuking, correcting, and training. You read it with a desire will teach you from it, even as he's. As we read this, for you to imagine yourself grandchild of Joshua. You are reading this account some 50 years after it happened. You've heard the story many, many times before, but struck with the way the author, and you notice that over and emphasizes one significant, because it is a long text, let you remain seated for it, and so even had the children stand for the reading of the first five books of the law. Joshua chapter 10, beginning, now Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, Joshua had taken Ai and totally destroyed it. Ai and its kings, and that the had made a treaty of peace with Israel. He and his people were very much, because Gibeon was an important city, like one of the royals in Ai, and all its men were good fighters. Zedek, king of Jerusalem, appealed to Hoam, king of Hiram, king of Yarmuth, Japhia, king of Lachish, come up and help me attack Gibeon, he said, made peace with Joshua and the Israelites. The five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, with Lachish and Eglon joined forces up with all their troops and took positions against Gibeon. And the Gibeonites then sent word to Gilgal, do not abandon your servants. Come up with us. Help us because all the Amorite kings from the joined forces against us. Joshua marched up from Gilgal with his entire army, just fighting men. The Lord, do not be afraid of them. I have hand. Not one of them will be able to withstand. After an all-night march from what took them by surprise, the confusion before Israel, who defeated victory at Gibeon. Israel pursued going up to Beth Horon and cut them down all the way and Makedah. As they fled in the road down from Beth Horon to Azekah, the large hailstones down on them from the sky. Of them died from the hailstones, then were killed Israelites. The Lord God gave the Israel. Joshua said to the Lord in the pool, O sun, stand Gibeon. O moon over the valley. So the sun stood still, stopped, till the nation avenged its sins. As it is written, the sun stopped in the middle of the slowing down about a full day. They like it before or since, a day when man, surely the Lord was fighting. Then Joshua returned to camp at Gilgal. Now the five men hidden in the cave at Makedah. That the five kings had been found hiding in the cave at Makeda. He built large rocks up to the mouth of the cave and posted to guard it. But don't stop. Pursue your enemy in the rear and don't let them reach their cities, for he has given them into your hand. So Joshua destroyed them completely, almost to a man, after reached their fortified cities. He returned safely to Joshua in the camp at Makeda, word against the Israelites. Joshua said, open the cave and bring those five kings out to me. They brought the five kings out of the cave, Hebron, Jarmuth, Lachish, and Eglon. These kings to Joshua, he summoned all the men of Israel, the commanders who had come with him, come here and pick of these kings. So they came forward and said to the commander, do not be strong and courageous. This is what all the enemies you are going to fight. Then Joshua the kings and hung them on five trees, and they were left hanging. At sunset, Joshua gave the order to trees and threw them into the cave where they'd been hiding. In the cave, they placed large rocks, which are there to this day. That day, Joshua took Makeda. He put it to the sword and totally destroyed everyone in it. He left. And he did to the king of Makeda as he'd done. Then Joshua and all Israel with him moved to Libna and attacked it. The Lord also gave that into Israel's hand. Everyone in it Joshua put to the sword. He left no survivor. Did to its king as he had done to the king of Jericho. All Israel with him moved on from Libna to Lachish against it and attacked it. The Lord handed Israel, and Joshua took it on the second day. In it he put to the sword, just as he had done to Libna. Horam, king of Gezer, had come to help Lachish, him and his army, until no survivors were left. He did the same to Eglon. Verse 36, Hebron. Verse 38, he did the same to Deborah. Pick it up again at verse 40. So Joshua subdued them, including the hill country, the Negev, the western slopes, together with all their kings. He totally destroyed all who breathed, just as Israel had commanded. Joshua subdued Kadesh Barnea to Gaza, and from the whole region to Gibeon. All these kings and their land Joshua conquered in one campaign because of Israel fought for Israel. Then Joshua Israel to the camp at Gilgal. What stands out to you about the story as it's related by? I think that the whole text ought to be rated R for violence. Remember, Israel went to bring judgment on a people with whom God had for many hundreds of years. Put off by God having the right to have that kind of judgment, I would urge you to get a copse on December 1st where we did kind of an assumption of God's judgment and the righteousness of it. From that, what stands out to you? Certainly I have helped you and emphasized certain words, and if you were watching this where I'd underlined it and placed the old print. But it becomes very evident there is illustrating again and again and again the point. For 10 times the author tells of the Lord's provision. 10 times in the text about God's provision in the midst of verse 8, the Lord said to Joshua, do not be afraid of them into your hand. Verse 10, the Lord threw them before Israel. Verse 11, the Lord hurled down on them from the sky. Verse 12, gave the Amorites. Verse 14, surely the Lord Israel. Verse 19, pursue your enemy. God has given them into your hand. Verse 25, this do to your enemies. Verse 30, the Lord also gave into the king's hands. Verse 32, the Lord over to Israel. And verse 42, all these Joshua conquered in one campaign because the Lord, the God of Israel, fought for Israel. You think the author wanted to make a point? Now, if you were reading 50 to 75 years after the incident and hypothetical grandchild of Joshua, what question might you ask yourself after having read? I think one question that might come, that often comes to our minds when we read of God's in the scriptures, is this: fighting for me, God's intervention in my life, just in the lives of an Abraham, Jacob, a Moses, a Joshua. If your answer, or should say Jesus Christ, if you are one of his, the question, can you expect God's intervention in your resounding yes? Because God has promised it. List just a few of them. Romans chapter 8, verse 38. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the nor any powers, neither height nor depth in all creation will be able to separate us from Christ Jesus our Lord. Is God intervening on our every minute of every day? Romans chapter, in the same way, the Spirit helps in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit intercedes for us with groans that words can leave that. God's Spirit intercedes. Is God intervening today? Philippians chapter 4 will meet all your needs according to his glory, Christ Jesus. You don't seem to experience the kind of in God and the kind of relationship with God that others experienced, even though we are Christians. Maybe the problem is we don't understand the relationship. Maybe we are looking in the wrong for God's intervention. I see factors that allowed for Israel to kind of relationship they experience us here in Joshua chapter 10. And I say them to experience it because it was all of grace. But Israel finally began to cooperate instead of getting in the way. It began to happen. The first factor is this: live intentionally, or at least they continue. That is, they understood the mission that God and they were living it out. Huge point from my vantage point. Understood the mission, and they were living. That's why they experienced what they experienced. Knights were under attack, and they sent word to Joshua. Now, the Gibeonites, we learned last week from Joshua, who came from a long distance away, and tricked Israel, believing that Israel could make a treaty with them instead of. Now, you can imagine that when Joshua heard that the Gibeonites were being attacked, he met and said, "Deserves them right." they have it coming. But Joshua knew what the so that he could not allow petty vengeance to from the mission. They'd been given a mission by responsibility to carry it out. They were the land of the inhabitants, and they were the land for the people of God. It might have been very, very tempting for Joshua to have sent on the land that they already had. In fact, two of the tribes had already tried that on the east side of the Jordan. And we've conquered all the enemies. We'll stay here. You can stay there later. You come with us now because of the mission. Certainly Joshua could have settled down near. After all, they had crossed the Jordan. They had defeated Jericho cities of the area. They had water. They had a clearly they could settle down there and let God take care of them. But the promises of the Lord are for us living out God's purposes, not just when we are living out only our own. The Lord intervened for Israel, but was doing what the Lord commanded. We want God to bless. We pray for health and we pray for comfort, fervently for jobs and against. We pray for things that will make our lives easier, but too often we are not on the same mission. We expect God to bless our agenda instead of asking God to bless His agenda. Is God on our side? Good question. In World War II, a number of German helmets found on which were princely in German, but translated, God with us. The Allied soldiers did that. Today, citizens and soldiers are praying. Today, American citizens and soldiers are praying. Whose side is God on? The war, Abraham Lincoln was asked if he thought God was on his. The key issue is not whether God is on my side, but God's side. And that's what this is about. Joshua 10 is a great account of a people who were giving mission. And in doing that, they saw mission. God is at work. The question is, are we about the same work? If we expect God's to be about God's business, what does God call? Put most succinctly, it is Matthew chapter 28, it is ways throughout the scriptures, therefore go and all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded. Mission. Just the institution's mission? The answer is no, that's our mission. Individually, that is the mission God has called us to. And surely I am with you always. Age. We as a people have been called to take the land. God is building him, and we are his means to accomplish. God has chosen his church, as I've said before, for bringing in the kingdom of God. And what does it mean? It must employees, but we are the into the lives of people with whom we work, lives Jesus wishes to reclaim. Of God is what it's about. We aren't just parents who are trying to raise happy youth. We in fact are rearing. We're involved in rearing souls. Now if that sounds too military, read the Old Testament, and for that matter, read the New. In the king's business. We are beachheads into territory that belongs. We don't just give to charity, to support ministries of the church for the sake of the king. You aren't just a Sunday school teacher. Training soldiers committed to the king and the king. That's what it's about. The Lord fought for Israel because he's doing the Lord's business. And God has given us a mission. Have we accepted it? Do we see us as servants and soldiers of the kingdom that he is building? The second, Israel lived dependently. Times had Joshua seen that demonstrated over his life. He saw God open the Red Sea for Israel to cross over. Mighty Egyptian army drowned in that same Red Sea. He saw water come from a rock, come from the sky. He saw the Jordan River open, so walk through on dry ground. He stood before those Jericho, and he said to the people, shout for the Lord. And without raising an arm, those walls before their eyes. He had also watched his own oddly against the city of Ai and get trounced. And he had also participated in not Lord, as the people of Israel made a treaty with the Gibeonites. Joshua had... He was absolutely dependent on God. Joshua knew that the power was not in him to command it. The power was God's. Interventions, we aren't involved in the king's business. See the king's intervention in our lives because we don't need it. We try to take on Goliath with Saul's rather than taking him on with David's. We think we can be Christians in this world, in light in our places of employment and in our neighborhood, prayers of dependence on God. That ought to be ours. We think we can raise happy citizens rear our children to be Christians without the prayer on God. We think we can be effective, we can sing, we can teach, we can preach without the dependence on God. Fought for Israel because Israel, they knew they needed him. Israel lived expectantly. Israel that God gave them. Look at it in verse 8. The Lord said to Joshua, afraid of them, that is, of those Amorite kings arrayed against them into your hand, not one of them will be able to withstand. Anytime those Israelites were tempted to discourage promise of God, all the time that they marched Gilgal, some 15 or more miles up to where those Amorite kings were arrayed again, all the way along through the night, they could remember of God. Listen to what Jesus said about the future. Listen to James is going to be true and is true. Matthew, and I tell you, on this rock I will build, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Matthew 13, Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like a man took and planted in his field. And though it is all your seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of the garden trees, so that the birds of the air come and perch in it. With this parable and many others like it, Jesus said, look, you're insignificant. You think not much is happening. God is at work. Fill the earth with the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter's gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world, testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. It is said in Revelation 22, behold, I soon. Do you believe that? Jesus is going to come soon. Believe that God is at work in his world and that you are a part of it. Do we believe that God, and do we believe that our lives, our investment, our small is playing a part in what God's world? What's your picture of the future? Is it so limited as in a house and a vacation? Or do you see what God sees? World that is being filled with the kingdom of God. Do we believe that God is doing that? In the midst of it, do we have to act purposes in the world? Set so firmly in what God is doing in this world that we act on his behalf and on our as we are working his purposes. For Israel, because they expected him to, believed him. The fourth factor is that they lived because they were on God's mission, because they knew they were, because they expected God to achieve his mission, they boldly. Can anyone imagine prayer? A bolder prayer, one that Joshua prayed on that day when he asked the sun that they could continue the battle. Please, in the fruitless, I think fruitless speculation would stop the sun. If God could, then surely God could station of the earth or stop it altogether, sufficient Joshua the daylight necessary to complete. Whatever exactly it was that God did, and scholars debate the point, how God did it, because God stopped the rotation of the earth completely, undulating at some over 1,000 miles an hour, as God did that, everything would simply fly off if it wasn't nailed. I think God can get around exactly how he did it. What it was that he did is really not the point. That day of which the author would say there has never before or since a day when the Lord listened to a man. And it must have been awesome. Do I dare to pray boldly? And when is it boldness? Folly. Dare to pray boldly is when we are praying in God's will. That is, when we're involved with, then we dare to pray boldly. Prayed boldly because he was exactly where. Did Joshua know that God was going to in fact stop? I don't think he did. But I think Joshua prayed boldly for such a thing to happen. Joshua was engaged in. You want to hear about foolish prayer? Well, some call it bold, but God calls it foolish. You do not have because you do not ask God. And when you ask, because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend pleasures. Some people who ask God for all kinds of things that have nothing at all purposes that God has placed us here for. That's foolish. That's not bold. In concert with what God has us doing. And then we may. Missionary William Carey was heading off to India, and he said what ought to be, I think, our life's slogan. Expect great things from God. Things for God. The last two, for God. Wayne and Amy Losey have relocated to Asia to work among a people who are no Christians, steeped in Islam. They might as well pray for the sun to stop. Bold faith to go and pray, God, bring a people for yourself. That's boldness. That's not foolish, because it's bold faith when we're in concert with God. The Lord fought for Israel because they believed God was capable of great things in the pursuit of God's purposes. In the mid-1800s, Fuller ran an orphanage in Bristol, England, and over 2,000 children. Some night, go to bed, and you've heard the stories before, Mueller would know that there were those children for the next morning, yet boldly that God would provide. Mueller believed Psalm 68, where it is the father of the fatherless. Mueller believed God, dared to pray God never failed them. On more than one occasion, Mueller would walk and pray very early in the morning, rise for breakfast, and he would pray to God that God provide for their children. More often than not, someone would stop him and ask if they to the orphanage, and he would take the supply food for the children. Or as on one occasion, having prayed through the early morning and still no food, the children for breakfast, empty cups, Mueller lifted his voice to God and said, for the food we're about to eat was not present. A knock on the orphanage came and said, God impressed it upon me during the night to the orphanage this morning. And he brought in the bread. It happened, then a milk wagon broke down outside, and the driver came in and said, the thing has to be off, use the milk, so I can fix the wagon. Bold praying, God's mission. Lastly, the fifth factor is that Israel lived. Joshua did not wait and watch. Joshua engaged. Joshua knew that he was responsible to act in faith, but to act in faith. Broke on the Amorites and the enemy was destroyed. Enemy armies no longer had any capacity to Israelites. It would have been the easiest thing in the world to have watched God do that and simply turn around, and Joshua knew his responsibility was to figure God brought the hail or God stopped the sun. His work was to be obedient to God. We do not determine whether we will be or not stops the sun. Whether God sent. We act in obedience and dependence on God to be God, however he in accomplishing his purposes. I think it is very reasonable for us to expect an intimate, yes, and even kinship with God. When we live dependent, when we live expectantly, when we live boldly, and I dare to believe that when I have made God's mission, I ask you, what are you living for? What's your purpose in life? God's mission, I believe we can expect this kind of God. Stand with me, please, as we pray. Father, I think there are many of us in this place who get effect our lives to lesser things. Father, I know those that are important in life. And to many different issues. Oh God, help us please to see that in the midst of all, ultimately the issue is whether we are giving our lives to you and your mission. Father, forgive us for being so petty, for being engaged that don't matter, and forgetting the Spirit of God is to an understanding of this to every one of us. Help us to see how our obedience and our dependence on you, even our bold praying, plays out in what you, God, are doing. God, help us to realize that and live that this week. I pray it in Christ's name. Amen.